Let's turn together to the passage that we have just read, to Proverbs chapter 1. And our text this evening, with God's help, will be the second section of that chapter, or actually the third section, beginning at verse 20, and considering wisdom's call. And there is much in this section, but this evening we'll consider the whole message, an overview of what wisdom has to tell us. Now, as we come to the book of Proverbs, it's a good book to consider, because there are some sections of Scripture that are more difficult, and some that are for one person or another. But when we come to the book of Proverbs, from the beginning, it's clear it's for absolutely everyone, whether young or old, rich or poor, foolish or wise. All you have to do is look at the first verses, where it talks about the importance of knowing wisdom and receiving instruction and justice and judgment and equity. And what's this book going to do? If you're simple, young, and ignorant, it's going to make you wise. You look, it's receive the instruction of wisdom. It gives subtlety or intelligence and wisdom and to those who don't have it. So if you're a young child, this is especially a book for you, because it tells you God's wisdom. You look at it, it specifically speaks to the young man and says, in this book you will find knowledge and discretion. You'll find the ways of wisdom. But then it goes to the old men, to the old ladies, those who have been studying the Scripture for years, and says, what will happen to the wise man? He'll hear it, and he will increase in understanding. And the one of learning will attain into greater wisdom. So no one here could possibly outgrow this book. Not that we could any of the Scriptures, but this one from the outset encourages us with the reality that it is written to the youngest person here and to the oldest without exception. It's for everyone. And it's good always as we come to this book to be reminded of the great message of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom instruction. Something that we always need to be keeping before us, that without the reverent adoration and fear of God, bowing down before Him, acknowledging who He is and what He has done in Christ, and trusting in the Lord, we're foolish. It's either that or folly. Wisdom is to fear God. And then, you know, this great warning is something that our young people need to take to heart in days like today, because the sons and the daughters are being continually enticed by sinners to fall away and go astray. The Lord comes to us at the beginning of the book and warns us straightly against going with those who are foolishly and wickedly seeking to get gain, because it will destroy you. But then we come to verse 20, and we see this wonderful word, wisdom crieth without, and she utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she's uttering her voice, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. And then wisdom goes on to give a stark warning, and then some words of encouragement at the end. And tonight, we're going to consider these words. But it's good to stop and at least ask the question, who is speaking? And though I hesitate to do this, I cannot give you a conclusive answer. And while in a way I would like to skip the question, I think it is good to stop and ask, who is talking to us here? This is God's Word, but who is wisdom? Some would say it's just a personification. It's simply speaking as if wisdom is a person. But what is wisdom? Here, wisdoms. It is the wisdom of God. So we know beyond doubt that this is God's wisdom for you. This is the eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God speaking to you. The one who knows all things and who knows everything to do with them. The God who alone is wise, speaking to you. This is God Himself, His wisdom. It's not man's wisdom. It's not worldly wisdom. It's God's wisdom. The wisdom that puts to shame all of the folly of the world. But many also would go on to say that if you look on at Proverbs chapter 8, and I'd encourage you to do that, where it speaks further of wisdom. If you look in some of the sections in verse 1, it talks again of wisdom crying and understanding putting out her voice. In verses 22 and following, it speaks of the Lord possessing me, that is wisdom, in the beginning of His way, before His works of old, wisdom being set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. And it goes on to talk about all these things, and wisdom being there, and wisdom being there when the clouds were established, when the fountains I beside him as one brought up with him, and daily his delight rejoicing before him. And when you look at these, many would, and I think rightly, argue that this seems to be speaking not simply of a personification, but going on to speak of the second person of the Trinity. And those who would say that would also go to Colossians chapter 2. And what do we learn of Christ? In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And there are other places where Christ speaks of Himself as wisdom. So it may well be that this is the second person speaking to us. But we know beyond any shadow of doubt that this is God's wisdom, that Christ is wisdom incarnate, and that Christ has come into this world doing exactly what wisdom here did. Calling out, stretching out His hands, and telling men to come to Him. And that Christ also gives the same warnings to us that wisdom does here. And so in this, we need to recognize that wisdom's call and Christ's call are one and the same. And when Christ comes to us, He says the same thing as wisdom does. And when wisdom comes, it's the same as Christ. A call to come and receive life. And a warning of what will happen when you don't. All coupled together at the end with a great encouragement. And it's a simple message we have to consider tonight. And it is the Lord's call to us. And it's clear and straightforward. You repent and are saved, or you're refusing and you will be destroyed. Most dreadfully. And we'll see this under three headings. We'll consider wisdom's call, we'll consider wisdom's warning, and we'll consider wisdom's encouragement. Now, first we'll look at wisdom's call. And here we see these things in verses 20 to 23, which I've already read again for you, the way that wisdom is going out and crying out with a loud voice to all around. As you look at it, it paints us a picture of someone walking around in all of the open places, the important places, the places where people would be. And here in Stornoway, you could imagine someone walking down the streets that are for pedestrians, calling out to everyone who walks by. Somebody standing in front of the Nicholson or other school and calling out when the people come out. Going wherever the people are to express the message, to tell people what they need to hear. Wisdom is not simply staying in a corner. What's happening? It's going into the streets, to the chief places, to the openings of the gates, the places where people must come, and going to them to speak to them so that no one can escape the message. It's going out where everyone must go to be certain that they hear. Now, what's the message? Well, the first thing we see is questioning. There's a crying that comes asking strong questions, saying strong things. What does wisdom say? How long, you simple ones, will you love being simple? How long, you scorners, will you delight in scorning? How long will you fools hate knowledge? He's speaking to the naive, to the ones who are ignorant and confused and easily misled, coming to the one that doesn't know right from wrong. And why is it? Because they've not studied the ways of God. They've simply continued foolishly from their birth upward in the ways of the world, knowing nothing of the way of good. The one who is naive. It's coming to the ones who are scorning, who are laughing at Christians, laughing at God, and mocking the truth. The call of Christ goes out to the ones who look at the Christian and say, what a joke. How stupid these people are to continue in these old ways when the world has got by that. And we know people like this. They're all over our land today. The ones who look at the faith, who look at the things of God and say, that was for a couple hundred years ago. Our world has moved on. God's coming to people like that too. To the ones who simply make fun of the truth. The one who take up the song of the drunkard and who laugh at us in the pub and in the playground and on the pitch, wherever they may be, saying, oh, those foolish people. But wisdom comes to confront them too. Wisdom comes to the fool. Who's that? The one who will not fear God and says, how long will you hate truth and knowledge and understanding? The cry is, how long are you going to remain in ignorance and foolishness and scoffing and self-destruction? How long will you plug your ear, close your eyes, and refuse the words of life? How long will you harden your hearts and walk by and reject the truth? Now, who is this that that's talking to? Well, clearly, it's talking to anyone who does not fear God. And as we understand that verse, it is clear it is anyone whose fear does not lead them to faith. It's talking to the ones who have not trusted in Jesus Christ. It's talking to anyone who is unconverted. The message is that anyone who is unconverted is in this position. You're loving simplicity, and like it or not, you're loving scorning. You're loving foolishness. You're not loving the truth. You're not loving the Lord your God. So the call goes out, how long, O foolish ones, will you not look to the Lord and find life? How long will you continue in the foolish, ignorant, and endlessly stupid ways of this world? Anything other than turning to Christ is folly. And so wisdom comes to you and says, how long will you not listen? But wisdom doesn't stop by asking the question. Just as our Lord and Savior did it, he then goes on and says, turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Christ comes to you and warns you and asks, how long are you going to harden your heart, close your ears, continue foolishly from turning to me? Will you not turn when I rebuke you? Will you not look to me and live? Throughout the New Testament, we see this call echoed time and time again. Repent. Return. Believe. Look and live. And the fact is that God is coming and saying, why, oh why, oh why will you not listen? You're being foolish. You're loving simplicity. Turn when I call to you. And if you do, look what will happen. Look, if you will but turn to me, Christ says, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and I will make my words known unto you. What is God asking of you? He's saying to repent. That is, to turn from your sins in hatred of them, recognizing your own sinfulness, your state as a dead sinner, one deserving God's wrath, and to turn from it to Jesus Christ. Turn to Christ, he says. Recognize the holiness of God. Recognize what you've sinned against. And turn from your death. Turn from your sins in faith to Jesus Christ, trusting in him as the only one who can cleanse you from sin. And he says, you do this, and you know what I will do? I will pour out my Spirit upon you. Now this, we can take for one thing to mean the Holy Spirit, because we know that anyone who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But much more here, it's speaking of the way that the Lord will renew our minds and his wisdom will be poured out upon us. How we will be transformed by his power so that the mind that was once captive to sin will be renewed in holiness. And where once we had blinders over our eyes and could not understand and were completely without knowledge because of our ignorance of the things of God, because we were not renewed in the inner man, what will he do? He'll open the scriptures by the power of his Spirit to cause us to understand and to once again have that knowledge and righteousness and holiness that was lost in the fall. What God is going to do to those who trust in him is to give back what was lost in this life only in a measure, a foretaste, but in eternity in its fullness, so that we will be in many ways like Adam was before the fall, save for the fact that we will no longer be able to sin. We will be wholly renewed after the image of Jesus Christ. What will he do? He'll pour out his Spirit upon us and make known his words to us. What amazing promises. Wisdom comes to you who are unconverted and says, look at your condition. You're foolish. You're ignorant. You're blind. You're dead. And if you will but turn to me, I will give you abundance of all the things that you lack, wisdom and knowledge and holiness and understanding and godliness. These will be yours if you turn to Christ. And I think you know this and have heard it many times. What a wonderful thing happens to those who turn from their death and find life in Christ. They have poured out upon them blessings untold, glory and joy and gladness. I want to speak to you who love the Lord Jesus Christ by way of reminder. These things are yours. Anyone here who has turned to Christ has had these things poured out upon them. There's no doubt about it. Because the fact is that those who turn to the Lord have His Spirit poured out upon them. And not only that, God's words are made known unto us. So that this is not a closed book. And that though there are times we may struggle, we understand the heart of the message. And as we grow, we understand it more and more. Whereas those who are yet enslavement to Satan, it's a closed book. It's such a blessing when we consider the truth that God has done this to us, so that we are able to open the Scriptures, understand them, because His Spirit of wisdom and understanding is upon us. We can see what He has to say. And that is a glorious privilege. But what if you won't listen to this? What if you harden your heart? What if you will not have Christ? Then wisdom has a warning for you. And it's a somber message. A serious message that we need to remember. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Because you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For because that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my rebuke. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Christ says to you who harden your hearts, look, I am continually calling out to you. I call to you through the Scripture. I call to you through the men who speak in this pulpit. I call to you through the lives of those who are converted. I call to you in many ways. And what have you done? You have not listened to me. Because I don't simply call you to take on the message. The call of Christ is to come to Him. And if you do not come, you are in the position of having been called and having said no. You are in the position of one who has called and not answered. Who has called and refused to regard. Christ comes, you can see in verse 25, and says, look, I'm counseling you. I'm showing you the path of life, the path of glory. I'm showing you all of the glory of God. And yet you won't have it. You won't listen to it. You sit in a pew and you meditate on the things of your life. You sit in the pew and listen, but the moment you're out, it goes out of your mind. You sit in the pew and listen, and you go home and get on with your life. And Christ says, I've been calling you. I've been counseling you. I've been telling you what you must do, and you've done nothing. And then he gives a terrible, terrible warning. And in verse 26, what does he say? You set at naught my counsel. You won't have my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. What he's saying is, if you continually reject my message, if you will not turn and live, the time is going to come when your life falls apart. The time will come when things no longer are the way you wish they were. The time will come when you will have trouble. Now, this may not happen in this life, but if you have not turned to Christ, there is one day when it will happen, and that is at the last day, because that will be the day when you personally, as an unbeliever, will call out the hill and wish that they could fall upon you. You will cry out and wish that you could hide. It will be a day of distress and darkness. And there will be nowhere to go, no escape, no way to avoid it. But it may too be in this life, and that would be a far more terrible thing, to have the day of judgment, as it were, begin before you die. When God comes to you and says, this day has come upon you, and what happens? You call upon me, and I will not answer. You have so rejected my ways and rejected me that when you call out, it will not be in truth. It will only be because you see finally the pit of hell will blow you and you realize what's coming. It's not a turning in faith to Jesus, but it's a turning in terror at what's about to happen. And what will God say? I called to you continually, and you would not have me. You will reap what you sow. What does it say? You will eat the fruit of your own way. You will be filled with your devices. That is to say that you will get the judgment you deserve. Because your turning away will slay you. Your worldly prosperity will destroy you. What a terrible thing to hear. And yet this is God's eternal wisdom for you. Our gracious God comes to us and says, in the day of grace, in the day where you're still living, well, there is still hope for you. Look, if you won't listen now, the time is coming when you will no longer have that opportunity. When the time will be that you will see the impending destruction, but the day of my favor will have passed, and the day of darkness will begin, and you will reap the fruit of your own ways. What a mercy it is to know this today. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is continuing today to tell you to come. And this is the urgency of the gospel. Because he tells us that the day will come when the chance of salvation has passed. And it's gone. And you cannot have it again. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. In Zambia, we see children dying continually. Here we often see the old die. But the day is going to come, and there is no way to escape it. If you do not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day is coming when that time of favor has passed, when you are no longer on mercy's ground, and when there is no hope for you. And that is why Jesus Christ himself tells you again and again, turn now while there is hope. Because the day is coming when there is no hope. But why, oh why, will you harden your hearts when you hear how this chapter ends? Because in verse 33, the Lord says at the very end of this, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. After saying all these things, the Lord says to you, but listen, listen to me. If you hear what I have to say and humbly cry out to me and find life in me, what was going to happen? You will dwell in absolute perfect safety. And you'll have quietness in your heart and no fear of evil. On the one hand, what do we see? We see a day of dread and of terror before those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ comes even after these words and says, but look, look to me, and you will have life. And this is the third thing we need to consider, this great encouragement. Christ says, act, hear, listen. It's not merely take it on board, but act upon it, respond. Repent and return and believe. And what will happen? You will live. You will dwell in safety. Why is this? Because all of these terrible things will not apply to you. You will be one of those who is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, who has his righteousness, as we considered this morning. And so, instead of having a fear of torment, a fear of the judgment of God, we have a hope of glory. And a knowledge that no matter what trouble comes in this life, it is working in us so that one day we will live with Jesus forever. We have a knowledge that no matter what comes, we dwell in Almighty God's hands. And though the entire forces of the evil one, the devil himself, all of the demons, every sinner in the world sought to pluck us out of the hand of God, they couldn't do it. Because God holds us himself as those who are the redeemed of God. We dwell with God in his hand, having his righteousness, his name upon us. As his children, we have no fear because we are in him. And so in our hearts, we can have peace and hope because of the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, what the Lord has to say to us tonight is so simple. And we need to think of it in these simple terms. Either we live in Christ, or there is terror that awaits. Either you look, repent, return, and believe, or God tells you what to expect. There's no escaping it. There's no way to get around it. It's either Christ or the wrath of God. The most terrible, awful wrath of Almighty God, righteously exercised upon you because you loved simplicity. And you loved foolishness, and you loved the world, and your prosperity and your complacency destroyed you. It's that or Jesus Christ. And life abundant, safety and peace and quiet because of Jesus in God. Oh friends, why will you die when there is life in Christ? Let us rise as we speak unto Him in prayer.